Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 20 of season 6. It is called The Chase. Directed by Jonathan Frakes. Teleplay goes to Joe Manosky. Story credit goes to Joe Manosky and Ronald D. Moore. It aired back on April 26, 1993. In this episode, four competing expeditions, Federation, Klingon, Cardassian, and Romulan, attempt to solve an ancient genetic puzzle. It's the first time that an episode featured more than one or something like that. I think all four of these races in one, so it's kind of special for that. It's also special because it explains why all the races in Star Trek have two arms and two legs and two eyes and why they all basically look humanoid. Anyway, Christian is here to talk about this one. So right after this, me and Christian are going to go deep on The Chase.
Let's hear it.
I had a long talk with Professor Galen last night. He asked me to leave the Enterprise and to join him in an archaeological expedition which could last for nearly a year.
That must be tempting.
I couldn't leave the Enterprise. But the offer raised in me certain feelings of regret.
That you could have been an archaeologist and not a starship captain?
No, not really. I'm not sorry for the path that I chose. But the professor did not choose this gift at random. The many voices inside the one. You see, he knows that the past is a very insistent voice inside me. And this gift is meant to remind me of that.
And the exploration of space. Surely that must count for something.
I wouldn't trade it for anything, and I would still make the same choice that I made all those years ago. I just wish that I didn't have to say no to him a second time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our discussion about The Chase, which is a season 6 episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. Christian is here to talk about this one. How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir.
I was reviewing you. You have a subreddit called r-Star Trek Viewing Party, and I was reviewing thoughts and feelings about this one. I don't know why I say thoughts and feelings all the time. It's just kind of worked itself into my brain. Why you thought about The Chase, and I guess you don't like The Chase, unless your opinion has changed in the past month or two.
I despise The Chase, and I am so ready to talk about this dumpster fire.
Okay, I'll probably defend it.
That's okay.
Because I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's good. But anyway, why don't you lay out some reasons why you don't like The Chase?
I mean... My biggest problem with it is in terms of, it's a great idea. I like the idea of a progenitor race, and I think that this is one of the first times I remember seeing it in any kind of televised sci-fi. I know that's kind of a big thing now with like Prometheus, Halo, a lot of different sci-fi properties do that now, and I'm sure there's plenty of other older sci-fi properties, especially in novels, that explored it before. However, I think that they completely mess up the idea with awful pacing that just goes from one thing to a next thing to the next thing with no pause or anything like that in between. Perhaps this would work better as a two-parter, but as it is, it's just constantly jumping from one thing to the next, and they doesn't have any sort of time to build or grow any kind of tension naturally. It's a big deal because they say it's a big deal. It's an amazing revelation because they say it's an amazing revelation. It's cryptic and dangerous because the guy says it's cryptic and dangerous. It spoon feeds you, or not spoon, it force feeds you everything that you're supposed to feel, and I don't feel any of it. The acting is terrible. Patrick Stewart is acting downright bizarre, flinging his arms, limbs around like I've never seen him do before. The side characters are bad because the Klingon is a poor caricature. The Cardassian is a poor caricature. The Romulan is completely uninteresting. It's like they took a pot of all these ingredients and just dumped them all in, swished it around, and then set it in front of you for dinner, and nothing comes together. I don't think it's good. I see people give this thing like A+ and 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10, and I just do not see it. I would not watch this episode again. I would not show it to anyone who's not into Star Trek, and I think it's unfortunate because it's a great idea, but the execution is just not there at all. I mean, you're just going from one set piece to the next, and sure, I like the idea of, you know, the DNA fragments hooking together. They can only be compatible in a certain way, and when you put them all together, they create this program. I don't know how realistic that is, but I find the idea fascinating. The execution is just awful. Patrick Stewart and Gates McFadden, their acting is just awful. I think it's just awful. And the guest characters are all awful. There's like a couple decent scenes. I can buy it. Well, I mean, I suppose I'll get into all the details later. But that's my general problem with it.
I think that I think I agree with you about the pacing of the episode. I think it's divided into two halves that are due short shrift to the other, because the first half with Dalen, is that his name?
Galen
is it goes on a little bit too long. Although I think it needs to go. Your point about it being a two-parter would kind of make sense, except I don't think there's enough here anyway to make it a two-parter. So the problem is that
I think with some restructuring it would work great. Maybe replace Gambit in season 7 with more of this or something.
Well, I mean,
from how quickly they move to one thing to another, literally. Sorry, go ahead.
The thing is that the Galen stuff needs to take a long time, because I think they do an effective job of setting up his relationship with Picard, and you can't really do it much quicker than the time that they take to do it, because you have to show what their interaction is, how they react to each other. Picard has to explain the backstory of it. He has to have the conversation where they abandon him. Galen has to die. Like, all of that has to happen. So if you rush it, that's not very good. The problem is that it takes up a lot of the episode, where the second half is the quote-unquote chase to get to the answer of what Galen was hunting for. And the chase sequence is so boring that it's really a like detriment to everything that goes on around it, where the Galen stuff is really interesting. The chase sequence is a lot of people just saying to each other what yes. they're going to do, and then they do it, and they just are hopping from planet to planet.
And a lot of empty, stereotypical threats. Oh, you're a Cardassian, so you're a treacherous. Oh, you're a Klingon, and I'm a Cardassian, so I think you're savage.
See, I think they needed that because it builds into the ending where the species all react in sort of a way that makes sense with each of the species. Like, the Klingon just looks at this like revelation and goes, "Is that it?" Which is funny to me.
I mean, it makes yes, that makes sense. They're trying to get everyone to work together, but the characters that they have to do this are not good. I think, I don't remember if it was you or Clay or someone else, when you were discussing the wounded and what makes a Cardassian so good, especially when played by Mark Alimo, is, and I'm sure I won't say it as eloquently as you did, but they are like bad, like Bond villains or bad guys that will always talk like really with class.
Yeah,
they're always really well spoken.
Civilized brutality is the best way.
Yeah, that's it. Civilized brutality, and that's what makes characters like Gul Dukat so good. Like, there's this sinister bit to them. They'll act reasonable, but you know that underneath that veneer is a lot of sinister motives. And Osette is literally only remarkable because she's a woman.
Yeah,
and that's the only thing that stands out. Otherwise, she is a run of the mill. She could be. Honestly, you could swap her out with a Klingon or a Romulan, and she would not be any different. I think for all three of the other alien races, you could swap her out with interchange any one of them, and it would be basically the same. Replace the Klingon curses with Romulan curses or Cardassian curses, and it's all the same thing.
Yeah, it's
Well,
it's weird to me that the the original species, this ancient alien species, seems more human than any of the other species. But it's weird to me that in this universe, there are so few races that don't make the humans look like the parents of everybody. Like, the Federation is always portrayed as the, like, on the top of everything. They're sort of, like, above all this fracas about, like, arguing with each other. And all the other races endlessly just bicker with each other all the time. And I think it does, like, I think the Vulcans should have been included in this chase scene, because they're, the species of the Vulcans is so important because it gives us another race that is actually not just some bunch of, like, trigger-happy warriors, basically. And losing them and having the chase be taken up by three species that, I think I've mentioned this before, too. There's a lot of alien scenes that are written, like you say, where you could just exchange the species and it would not change how they talk or what they say in any, yeah, and in I any think standard that's, way.
Yeah, and I think that's a big... If you're going to have all these different races, I want to see the different approaches.
Right.
Like, maybe Oset acts really cooperative, but you can tell she has something plotted, so that when she inevitably tries to betray them, then it's... It plays differently.
Yeah.
One thing, and actually, just thinking about it, think about other races outside the Federation, and they are almost entirely, except for, I don't know if I'd count the Bajorans, they are all mostly trigger happy. I wonder if, thinking about it, the reason that all the people outside the Federation, maybe they're all trigger happy because all the people who aren't trigger happy all decided to join the Federation.
Yeah, I mean,
because
that's
the only people they can get along
likely.
With.
Yeah, it's probably likely that the people that they're most suited to always show up as the...
Because there's other, you know, quote, friendly races like the Trill or the Betazoids or the Vulcans, but they're all Federation races.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and humanity is just our sort of glimpse into that, even though they exist.
As far as the characters, and another problem, the Romulans are just come out of left field. All of a sudden, oh, we're Romulans, so in typical Romulan fashion, we'll show up, threaten you, then slink off, and yep. Say, we'll be back. The Klingons, I know that they're in this because they think it's a weapon, so of course, you know, the military is going to be involved, but I don't buy that this dumb Klingon is somehow leading this heavily scientifically based chase out of love to see a Klingon scientist. And we get to see that later in Suspicions, and I think it's really interesting because so much of the Klingon culture, all we see are the warriors. We never get to see their janitors or their workers or their farmers or their scientists. And when we do talk about it, it's interesting because there does seem to be a very much, you know, the warriors are always glorified and all the other classes are ignored. But their work is just as important, and I think in Suspicions, the Klingon scientist, she talks a little bit about, hey, you know what, my work is just as important as everyone else. Don't ignore me just because my race is a bunch of warriors. I'm smart. And I think that showing that in this episode would have been very interesting. Maybe have two Klingon characters. One is the military guy who wants it for the weapon, but his foil on his own ship is a Klingon scientist who says, no, this is a big deal for archaeological reasons, too. I want to work with the Federation. They're our allies. And I think that would have been a far more interesting play with the Klingons rather than, I'm a Klingon. I'm going to curse at you. And, of course, his ship, in typical Klingons are bad at fighting fashion, gets taken out.
I mean, the thing that, I guess the point here is, like, what exactly is this episode about in general? Like,
and
I think that the Galen switch kind of confuses things because it turns a Picard storyline into a storyline that's about a pretty big issue, which is this, you know, the common core of all the humanoid species is the same. I think that the idea is almost too big for the episode. In a way. And it might be too big for TNG to handle outside of a movie.
Well, no, I think it could do it. I think it needs a two-parter. I think you need to show more of a deeper exchange between these different races to have more of a focus on them having to work together and maybe their failings to work together. Maybe by the end, it's completely falling apart. They manage to find it out. They find out that the point was to work together all along, and you get to see... I feel like the ending should be... They try to play up the ending as it's supposed to be kind of positive, but I think it would honestly work better if it's more a tragic thing about the aliens talking about cooperation, and meanwhile the Klingons and the Cardassians are fighting it up above, and they won't listen. I think that would be a more compelling story.
I think they do a mix of it, because, you know, out of the three species, only one gives a hint of being sort of in agreement with the Federation about what this all means.
And it's the worst one to get. I don't buy it.
I think they're the ones that, I think the Romulans doing it are the ones that logically make sense to me. Because the Romulans strike me as that sort of species. And I wish they'd been fleshed out a little bit more. Because I can see the Romulans and the Federation seeing eye to eye on a lot of things. And I don't really understand the basis of the disagreement between the two a whole lot of the time. But I think the episode, I really like the ending. I think the ending somewhat saves the episode, even if the female alien is kind of cheesy a little bit, but it's cheesy in that Star Trek way.
I didn't mind the female alien. I mean, if you're going to give a generic androgynous parent race, I mean, the actress, I think, plays it
well.
I'm
talking about what she says. I think what she says is pretty well written. It's slightly melodramatic, but it's good enough. It's also it's weirdly substantive for how short of a time she talks to people. But it's nice, and it fits the whole TNG ethos of, you know, everyone gets to, like, we need to get along, and we're all the same in the core.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it ties into the teaser about that archaeological thing that everybody is sort of made up of other things, like, and, you know, you're all sort of one organism, the universe is one organism or whatever. This is what they're trying to say.
I like that parallel. I don't think there's anything wrong with the writing. I just think that with the pacing issues, it comes across as a fast exposition dump, and half my notes are, and now this, and now this, and now this, okay, bye.
Yep.
That's how so much of the ending comes across to me.
Well, the thing about the ending is that it has to be abrupt, because you can't introduce this alien species halfway through a story, because I don't know where you would take it from there. Like, their reveal is the end of the story. The problem is...
I mean, there's abrupt, and there's driving it into a wall abrupt.
I think the problem is that the lead up, the chase sequence, is not particularly interesting. I think it's the weakest part of this episode, because
I think that it would have been better if the Romulan is going to say anything, I would have him say something on the planet. Like, the Klingons and the Cardassians, they beam off because they're like, oh, this is it. This is garbage. We're out of here. And the Romulan captain Picard are the only two people left watching where the projection was. And they kind of look at each other, and the Romulan says, like, huh, interesting. And then he walks off.
Well, see, I like the fact that they have a private conversation. Because
even taking it like 10 seconds longer, 5 seconds longer would have been better. It just feels so rushed to me. And I think it's because they all have to jam it into 45 minutes. Even the thing with Galen in the beginning feels rushed. He gets attacked, boarded, shot, beamed off, and dies in 90 seconds.
Yeah. I don't know why he gets attacked either. I mean, I understand why he gets attacked. I don't understand why the ship blows up when they shoot the ship. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
There's no explanation for it. We literally don't get... We don't know who they're working for, presumably one of these guys, but they never say, they never bring it up again. Why does the ship blow up?
I think I can't remember. I think the Cardassians mentioned that they paid the Iridians or something, or that one of the races did anyway.
I could have easily missed it. It was going so fast.
I guess I'd like to talk about the theme of it, because I'm sort of in agreement that I don't think the structure of this episode is necessarily sound. It's a very Joe Manosky script. Where it's a sort of big idea that lives or dies by its execution. He does it very well when he does things like Darmok. And sometimes things are a little bit too big and he can't fully wrap the script around the idea.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what the chase falls into, because the chase idea is sort of, it's kind of reminiscent to me of The Inner Light, and in that you need to think about what they're actually saying for the impact to come across. The show itself isn't going to get the full force of what they're trying to sell to you across. You have to kind of think about it outside of that.
And I agree, and I think that's part of the reason why having it so rushed hurts it so much, because the audience is never given a time to breathe and digest. I'm sure you've heard of it. I want to say Every Frame a Painting. It's a YouTube series about movie stuff.
Sure.
And he's talking about the use of, I think he's talking about editing and how a lot of times the pauses and how long you stay on a shot is important to let the impact of the scene really be felt.
Sure.
And allow the audience to process it. And he gave an example from some Korean film where one of the main characters is kind of sitting there and he's thinking about some personal tragedy. And it lingers on him for a while.
Yep.
And you can feel the emotion through that. You can feel like the failure that he's feeling. And he compared it to a scene in Ant-Man where, spoilers, Scott is trying to mind meld or whatever with a wasp or ant or something.
Sure.
And he fails, but there's no pause. It's just try, fail. Oh, no, I give up. I'm frustrated.
Yep.
And there's no pause. And I think if you added like a couple seconds to a bunch of different scenes, I think that they would work a lot better, because the episode leaves no time to develop anything. It's just telling you, like I said, it's a big deal because they say it's a big deal. Theme is great.
Well, the episode doesn't go into exactly why it's a big deal. I mean, I think
I
think that the audience can kind of intuit how it's a big deal. Like, it's kind of a revolutionary idea. Like, in this universe, it would be a revolutionary idea.
I don't think they explained it in clear enough terms that I barely knew what they were talking about until deep into it. But by then, they were already saying, oh my gosh, this is such a big deal.
Right. Well, I mean, why do you think it's a big deal? I guess, like, from your opinion, what makes this a big deal?
I mean, if once they get into the idea of that it's like the Da Vinci Code of paleontology, a code hidden in DNA, that I think is a big deal. Like, you would not just randomly find all these DNA sequences put together. That indicates that there's some kind of, I don't know, it's not creationism, but like some master plan behind how everything was put into motion that is different from just random evolution.
Yep.
And that, especially compared to the very scientific basis of everything, Star Trek, that everything evolved on all these planets completely separately, that there's no crossover, that is a big deal. But I don't think we get that and what it means for... They never talk about what it means for their understanding of how the universe and all life is formed. We're just told it's a big deal because it's a big deal.
Well, I mean,
now,
I think
once you guys are talking about it, I get it, but they don't even speak really about the broader ramifications. They just say there are broad ramifications, but they don't talk about it.
Well, I think that the ramifications are philosophical more than anything. Like I think it kind of cleverly deals with the issue by not much has changed about what they know at the end of it, even though they've been shown sort of the origin of the species and they've been shown how they're all interconnected and they all have sort of a common ancestor and all that stuff, which is good and fine. It doesn't change a lot in like real politic kind of talk. Like,
yeah.
And that makes sense to me. So the ramifications are more sort of philosophical and possibly ethical or something like that around the fact that they now all know this for certain. And the fact mm-hmm. that it doesn't change anything, I think, is really smart on the show's part, because I don't believe that if these cultures experience this truth, it's not really going to change anything.
No, that makes sense.
I think they do an okay job of that. Like, they show that the one of the species is somewhat even, you know, willing to consider the possibility. The other two are too far removed to even consider the possibility. So, I mean, I think that what they're talking about is not a theme that can be narrowed down very well. So the fact that it can't be sort of determined in the episode is okay by me. It's just the fact that you have to think about it, and just getting to that point is not well structured in the episode. Like, there's
no.
The drive to get there is not interesting enough to support the idea once you arrive.
No, yeah.
The female alien is the female changeling from Deep Space Nine, mm-hmm. which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a good.
She has a very. They basically didn't change her makeup. That
no,
much.
She's exactly the same, and she's a blank slate of a alien with no ridges or no ears or whatever, just sort of there that you evolve based on whatever sludge they throw you into. And
yeah,
I just. The middle acts of this episode just really kill me. Just when they're going back and forth between the planets, and it's like, well, this is not particularly exciting. And
go ahead.
Well, let me see what you think of criticism of this episode. Some criticism that I saw, which I don't really disagree with, or which I do disagree with, is this episode was basically written to retcon the fact that they all look humanoid.
I mean, it's absolutely. I don't know if it was the point, but it has the very nice side effect of explaining why everyone looks humanoid.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that. I think that in terms of, I mean, a progenitor race, but these days is pretty kind of standard, almost standard ideas for sci-fi settings. And I'm okay with that. I mean, if they had never explained it, I would have been okay. I would have just been like, hey, it's...
It's just the way it is, yeah.
It's just the way that it is. Yeah. It's TV. We can't make every single race a quadruped insect monster race.
Not yet, anyway.
But the fact that they explain it, and I think the explanation makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
I'm okay with that.
It fits in with the show, I think.
I don't think that is a criticism. I think that is a bit of trivia. So I would disagree with that.
That's not
criticism. That's trivia.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, I think.
Again, the idea is great. And if this was... made up very differently, I would have loved it, because I love big ideas like this. I love this idea of a ancient, like I said, it's like the Da Vinci's Code of paleontology.
Yep,
that I think is fascinating. So I have no problems with the idea. I have major problems with the execution in the episode.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a movie idea.
Well, I mean, my only problem with that is I think that the movie would be too boring. I think that this is an idea that can only truly exist in a television or miniseries or two-parter or some kind of in a setting where it's okay to be slow. Star Trek movies make their money and name off of being exciting, and I think any kind of extra action would dilute the philosophy-heavy thread of the episode.
Well, you could just do the Prometheus version of this. You know, you'd supplement the idea with some other sort of movie-esque action-y sequence,
yeah,
I suppose. The idea feels to fit better as a thematic whole over 2 hours or something like that. It would give you the chance to breathe. You'd have to amp it up a little bit. Yeah, I'd agree with that. But it feels like it's an idea that is big enough to fit a movie, and it's almost too big for an episode of TV. And just the ramifications of that, it feels to me almost like it's a motion picture kind of idea, like the original Star Trek, which is just a big idea that wasn't a great movie, but it's just the big idea that
I actually do like that movie.
That's how you launch it.
It's another thing.
I think I'm done talking about the chase. Did you have anything else you wanted to add about it?
I suppose just that, and I know you said you liked a good bit about the Galen plot, but I didn't. I think that I know that Picard doesn't really seriously consider it, but I think considering it at all, having to even say, oh, well, can I sleep on it? I think that that's already too much. Picard is already giving too much thought to but this idea that I think it's reasonable.
I interpret that as he's being polite.
But then he feels like guilty about it, and I'm sure it's partly because of his death too. But even before he gets killed, he's all mopey.
Well, because
and it's partly because Galen's an asshole, and I'm glad he's dead. But
I mean, the Picard thing is he obviously abandoned him the first time. So he, as he says in the episode, he feels bad about doing it again. Which
but
I
did he
I
really abandon him? I mean, I feel like, hey, it was fun, but I want to be a starship captain, and I feel like Galen didn't take it good then. I don't think he took it good now because he has a massive ego.
Right, but I can understand their relationship is sort of father and son, and I can understand like it's not wrong to not do what your father wants. Like it's not wrong to not want to go into the family business, but it's certainly acceptable to feel guilty when if you don't do it. You know what I mean? Whether or not that's appropriate guilt is another thing, but I can understand being like, oh Jesus, like I didn't go into the business, and now he's coming around and he wants me to do something else with him, and I can't do it at this point. Like I can understand feeling. A, you don't want to deliver the bad news, and B, just feeling sort of guilty about the fact that you have to deliver it.
That's fair, but I mean, I don't know, like, Picard's even acting all suddenly all timid, and he's just taking a shit, and especially after an episode like Tapestry, where's all that old confidence and brashness? No, he's letting this old guy make him feel awful for the second time for something that's not Picard's fault.
Yes,
I don't know.
I think there's a subtlety there of you don't have to feel bad for something to you don't something doesn't have to be your fault for you to feel bad about it. You know what I mean?
I suppose I just didn't buy it. I liked the Kurlan artifact. Is again, it's a fascinating idea, and I like that part of the episode, but I didn't like Galen, and the plot of that whole thing just didn't sell me.
I thought the artifact kind of looked like shit. Like it's kind of like just a junky paper mache thing. Yeah. And it's also funny that in Generations, at the end of Generations, when the ship has crashed, he picks it up out of the rubble.
He chucks it, doesn't
he? And
he
throws it. Yeah, and it's like, hey, I thought you were talking about how valuable that thing was. And he just it's intact, and he picks it up and he just throws it into like a pile of trash. Like, well, that's that.
See, and why is he making Galen feel so bad about him? He just chucked that thing. Come on.
Yeah, he'll feel bad again, I guess, at that point. Let's go to final thoughts. We'll give our final thoughts and ratings for The Chase right after this.
You're wondering who we are, why we have done this, how it has come that I stand before you, the image of a being from so long ago. Life evolved in my planet before all others in this part of the galaxy. We left our world, explored the stars, and found none like ourselves. Our civilization thrived for ages. But what is the life of one race compared to the vast stretches of cosmic time? We knew that one day we would be gone, that nothing of us would survive. So we left you. Our scientists seeded the primordial oceans of many worlds where life was in its infancy. The sea codes directed your evolution toward a physical form resembling ours. This body you see before you, which is of course shaped as yours is shaped, for you are the end result. The seed codes also contain this message, which we scattered in fragments on many different worlds. It was our hope that you would have to come together in fellowship and companionship to hear this message. And if you can see and hear me, our hope has been fulfilled. You are a monument. Not to our greatness, but to our existence. That was our wish. That you too would know life. And would keep alive our memory. There is something of us in each of you, and so something of you in each other. Remember us.
That's all?
The Chase. I think it's one of those episodes that has a Its reputation precedes it. I think it's kind of more important than it is a good episode. I don't even know if it's important. It's just it has a topic that seems like it's more important. Kind of like the Warp Speed episode in season 7. It feels like it should have a lasting impact on the show and the series, and it doesn't really, which is okay, but it's a little bit odd at the same time. You went first last time when you were here, and you did Starship Mine. I guess I'll go first. The chase is very boring to me. I think that's its biggest sin, is it's a boring episode. I think that the ending saves it quite a bit, and the ending, I think, is well done all the way from discovering the alien to the final conversation with the Romulan. I think that's done really well. The middle section is plodding and stupid, and the first section is fine. I kind of like it. I'm going to give it a 3. I think it's just kind of a dull 3. It's saved mostly by the ending. It would have been a 2 otherwise, but I think it's worth the idea that they're talking about is worth watching and worth understanding. It's certainly not an episode that you would show to a non-Star Trek fan because it's too plodding. But yeah, that's it. 3 out of 5. What'd you think?
What's your definition of a 1 and a 2?
A 1 is an episode I would never feel the need to watch again. A 2 is like it could have been an okay episode if they had tweaked it a little bit. 3 is a thoroughly average episode of Star Trek.
I would give this a very weak 2 on your scale, just because I do like the idea, and I do think it could have been good as a 2-parter, or as maybe a serialized thing, or as a feature-length episode like Year of Hell, or Dark Frontier and Voyager, or even as a movie, but I think that it, as it is, it does not work at all for me. So
sure,
but purely because by your scale, 2s could be good, and I think this one could be great.
Yep,
I'll give it a weak 2.
Sure, that makes sense to me. Yeah, the chase. It's I agree. It's not a great episode or anything like that. It's interesting that it's one of those episodes that the idea is bigger than the episode's quality is, which is interesting to me. Yeah. It's a Minofsky script. It's certainly that. I think Joe Minofsky is one of my favorite writers on the show, even though he doesn't have a great average, really, but he hits for power, I guess, to continue my analogy before.
He's on the new series.
Yes, he is, which I'm torn about. I don't know. I'm not a fan of... I think that just because you involve people who were involved previously is not necessarily a good idea.
You need to... I think with something especially like Star Trek, where the fandom can be very vitriolic towards anything they perceive as an outsider tampering with their Trek, and it's a vitriol I don't agree with, I think that in order to kind of make everyone happy, you have to take equal parts, or you have to take parts from both classic Trek, in that you want to have things that Trekkies will be familiar with, things that made Star Trek good in the past. If you just make it whatever you want and completely ignore what's come before, well, then it's not really Star Trek. It's a sci-fi series with Star Trek branding. But you also need to make sure you have new blood, people with new ideas. You got to be willing to kind of push the boundaries about what Star Trek is. And then I think you can come up with something really new, which is why I think that DS9 was as successful as it was critically, especially... nowadays, I think it's had a resurgence because they took bits of what they made previous Star Treks great. I mean, they brought people from TNG over, but they also had a lot of new blood. They had a lot of new ideas, and I think that that's the best way to go about making a spinoff. You don't want to make it just like any one of the number of NCIS spinoffs, which is basically the same idea in a different setting. You want to come up with a new idea because it's a new series in a new time. So I like that they're bringing on people from previous ones to give that, well, you know, this is what we did before. These are some of the ideas that I had. Because I like Minofsky's ideas, and then I hope that they're just able to, whatever this new series name is, I hope they approach it and adapt it in a way that feels both Star Trek and uniquely this series.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think that, I mean, the best case scenario is that all the ideas that weren't allowed to work in the original TNG and Deep Space Nine would actually be allowed to work in a sort of modern television format. Yeah. Which, you know, the potential is there, obviously.
Especially if Minoski is kind of a big ideas guy, I would love to see his ideas adapted in a new way. So if he's the guy bringing in some ideas that maybe he didn't get to use in old Star Trek, and we got other people bringing in new ideas, I think that'll be really great. And I didn't watch much of Hannibal, but the episodes that I saw... Hannibal's not my favorite... The Hannibal Lecter story is not my favorite story ever, but I could definitely see the quality in the series, so I'm excited to see what Brian Fuller brings.
Yeah, yeah. I was the same. I watched, the first season of Hannibal, and I didn't feel the need to continue on, but, I mean, I like the idea. It's just not the topic isn't particularly interesting to me.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you're on YouTube, like, and comments, appreciate it. iTunes, the rating and review helps get the show out there. You can go to facebook.com/thepenskypodcast. Patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. You get exclusive content there if you give a couple bucks a month. And outside of that, that's about it. Thank you guys very much for listening. Christian, thank you very much for coming on. Do you want to plug the Reddit?
Yes. Again, I feel like I'm just repeating myself because I just recorded the last one. But for those of you who don't know, I run the subreddit Star Trek Viewing Party. You can go on Reddit /r/StarTrekViewingParty. We are going through every episode of Star Trek. We started in TNG. We're finishing up TNG Season 7. We're going to move on to DS9 on August 7th. Going to have a big event with that. Brand new theme. It looks really, really sharp. A lot of improvements over the old one. We're also currently doing an event to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Star Trek called, we're calling it 50 Days of Trek. We're posting periodic specialty discussions. Check it out on the forum. It should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to a lot of things that we have coming up, because I think there'll be really good things to have people talking about.
50 Days of Trek reminds me of like Hanukkah or something like that. it's a super stretched out version of Hanukkah.
Basically.
With instead of, you know, how many lights are there? There are 49 lights instead of 50.
Yes. We'll have like an advent calendar.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. Guys, thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it greatly. And season 6 will continue. I forget what episode is after this. I can't be.
Frame of Mind.
Oh, Frame of Mind. Excellent. Good.
You got a good one.
I think Clay is here for that. So anyway,
ooh.
Guys, thank you very much for listening. I'll see you next time with Frame of Mind.